Hello and welcome back
to Mood Podcast. Live music. It's changed, obviously. It's suffered. But this week we're gonna go sort of backwards.
We want to reminisce and take you back to the old experience that live music brought us. Although from here on, things are going to be a bit different.
We want to reminisce on, I think, our favourite venues. So this podcast is always recorded in Sydney. So for this episode, we're going to focus just on sort of New South Wales based venues that we've enjoyed and give you guys just a little, I think, not even history, but insight onto how some of these places have begun.
Not only will we be talking about some more venue-based events, but also on a larger scale, bigger events like festivals or arena gigs, yeah, things like that.
Because obviously we've seen a lot of those completely postponed, cancelled, you know, the worst of the worst, but we want to celebrate the ones that we've enjoyed in the past, but also celebrate and discover some of these new amazing innovations that we've seen, not only in Australia, but now worldwide.
Things have changed, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing. And I think it's brought us a new way to connect and enjoy a live experience. And we've found some incredible examples that we're going to be talking about in this week's episode.
Yeah, and we really want to know if you guys, at the end of this episode, after hearing the new sort of examples that we found of the way live music is now, I guess, communicated and experienced, we just want to know what you guys would even just think about that new future of
and
live
what,
music.
If you'd attend any of these, yeah, that we talk about.
Because there's a lot of interesting ideas. But either way, let's get into it.
So to begin, I think we should touch on larger events.
So these are like
festivals. Yeah. Major like arena based gigs where you've got international artists or just bigger artists.
Yeah, and also special date festivals, because we've got a lot in Australia.
Yeah.
And recently, of course, with the bushfires, we saw a lot of charity based festivals.
You've got 2 to 3 day type festivals, like some of our biggest being
like
Splendor,
yeah,
you know, Falls Festival,
Yours and Ours,
which we've both attended,
yeah,
together.
And surprisingly are attending
the start of next year, if that goes ahead.
Which we have no clue as to what's going to happen. So that's
just
exciting.
Hope for the best. I think the thing about festivals that go over multiple days is you really got to prepare yourself mentally, physically. Like,
yeah.
We were only 18 when we went to Yours and Ours.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were still fresh into the festival experience.
Yeah,
like, we hadn't attended many.
We knew that it was going to be a lot for us to handle, but
yeah,
I think we overestimated how much it was actually.
Underestimated, you mean?
Sorry, under.
Especially Julia.
Yeah, let's not get into it. But
we won't get into the horror stories.
But it was definitely an experience.
I think what I liked about, I've been to Splendor and Yours and Ours, and obviously I love Splendor, like,
yeah,
great festival, great experience.
To Splendor this
we
year.
Were supposed to go
we're
this
meant
year,
to be there,
but I think what I liked about Yours and Ours is that, well, at least for us, we pretty much stayed at that same stage,
yeah,
the entire
like there were
time.
How many stages were there? Three.
I think there's three, but the main one had,
yeah,
all the bigger artists on it. And I just remember staying at the front
at the
of
same
that
spot. We were like, we're not losing
time.
This spot, we're gonna stay here, and that's. Which is a funny thing, like, most festivals that you go to, you sort of have to, like, plan and coordinate.
How you're going to, yeah, fit
how
in
this,
all the,
yeah,
artists.
Like, who am I going to see at this time? Do I want to be at the front? Like, this person I love, I really want to be at the front.
You've got to schedule it in, yeah.
It's a very problem-solving sort of situation. Like, you don't really think about it while you're in the moment, but
there's a lot of pre-planning to it.
There's a lot of thought that goes into it, yeah.
You've
and been, I, that's something, sorry, that's something that I think we kind of lose now, though, with COVID impacting.
Mm.
We're not really going to have to think
we're
about
that. We're not
going to
have to do that.
It's
we're not going to
be easier.
Running. We won't be running from stage
no.
to stage when you're doing virtual events.
But yeah, as much as
you know,
those big festivals go, we've got a lot of other ones that have appeared throughout the years, but on special dates.
Yeah. So you've got things like Field Day, which you can spend New Year's Day on.
That's
we both also attended that.
Yeah, and that's also
year.
Another one of those festivals.
I think, was that the last one we went to? Or I went to Laneway this year as well. But I think Field Day was the last one we attended
together.
Yeah,
now that I think about it, Field Day is the last.
It was just before it all began.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of Field Day, Lost Paradise is another, I guess, big 2 to 3 day festival. But it's probably one of the busiest times of the year. So
yeah.
28th of December is when it usually start, and then it finish up around the 1st of Jan. So I personally haven't been to Lost Paradise, but I could hands down say that that would probably be
a great way to start the year.
Yeah, but also one of the hardest ways to recover.
Starting your new year with a
bang.
Yeah,
you probably need a 3 day recovery, or even a week just to recover from that. That would be wild.
You've then got festivals that do almost like a tour in multiple locations. So things like Groove in the Moo, Laneway, Listen Out.
And there's so many others.
Yeah.
And they keep appearing every year.
Yeah.
And I think we've also got a lot of festivals that are sort of themed with the location itself. So there's Snow Tunes, which runs in Jindabyne, and that would be a very cold festival, but I'm assuming a very fun one as well, because
yeah,
it's literally up in the hills in the snow, like,
and I guess even
casually
even Groove in the Moo, like, it's more like the regional town
yeah
tour that it does, you
and
know?
There's also the Grapevine,
yeah,
literally in the Grapevines and Hunter Valley.
Absolutely love that one.
There's so many others.
Yeah,
I know there's like a pineapple one somewhere in
Sunshine
Coast. Don't know if it exists now, but there's too many. Pre-COVID, we obviously had the bushfires. It was a very negative thing that happened, but so much positive came out of it, especially with charity festivals. So
bushfire relief.
Yeah, bushfire relief.
Concerts and festivals.
And we both attended one called Sweet Relief, which was a smaller one at Oxford Art, but all of the proceeds from that went to the bushfires themselves.
And there were so many other gigs like that, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, there was another one that I went, which was Fire Aid, which was one that was actually televised. And that had, oh my God, so many different artists from such different genres. But the big one was Queen. Obviously, Freddie wasn't there, but it was still incredible. Like, I remember being in Mosh, and that stadium fit around 80,000 people. And it's just crazy to think that I was one of those 80,000, and I was able to see that, and it was just incredible. Like, I don't think I could ever re-experience that again, thanks
yeah
to COVID, but at the time, it was incredible, and it was for such a good cause.
In festivals, getting into larger venue gigs, you know, for international artists or larger artists, Jules, what's been your favourite venue to see a larger gig, whether that be Kudos Bank Arena?
Stop
Gordon.
Right there, Kudos.
Kudos?
So
yeah
good. Yeah, well,
what
we've
did
been
you see
there.
There?
We've been there
we've
for
been there.
Sticky Fingers, and that was incredible.
Yeah.
Because it's crazy to think that they are playing stadiums now in, like, big arenas. But I've seen, I honestly lost my concert virginity in Kudos. Like, that was the first time I had seen Cringe but One Direction.
Oofed.
And you know, 15-year-old me was like crying. I was like, where am I? This is amazing. I'm pretty sure Kudos fits like up to 10,000. That may
yeah
be wrong.
That may be wrong.
Don't quote me there. But Kudos, I just
yeah
think it always has great international artists, but also Aussie artists that you could see from such an incredible viewpoint. Like, you could
yeah
be, and also
yeah
it doesn't
you really
matter where,
can sit anywhere.
It doesn't matter where you sit. Like, you could pay like cheap $90 tickets and be at the back, and you still get to see a lot more than
cheap
what
$90 tickets.
Yeah,
yeah,
I know. But compared to, like, you know,
yeah,
Kudos, some of the prices that artists
yeah
would put up back in the day, even
I
like
guess just for those
ridiculous
more like international larger name
yeah
artists.
But that's definitely
your
something
favorite
that I'll always look back to, and a place that I always enjoy going back to. And obviously, we were meant to see a few artists this year at Kudos, but that's been postponed now. So who knows?
I hope in the future we
who
still get to see
time,
you know
yeah
Tame Impala.
I know.
Who
but
else
what about you?
Yeah.
There's like a lot of different venues.
I might have to say Horden Pavilion.
Yeah.
Purely because it was one of my few first experiences attending a concert where I wasn't with like my mom or something, you know? Felt grown up. And I felt like such an adult. I was literally probably only
13.
I was probably like 14 or 15.
Yeah, that's sort of when we like I think most of us would have gone.
I went and saw Rufus.
Also, like, Australian what a cool group. First artist to oh, see. Like, so mine cool. was well, it wasn't, One Direction.
It wasn't my first, but it was my first that proper like
experience.
Proper, you know? And I was with a couple school friends. I was surprised my mom even let me because I was pretty young, but we seemed to be the youngest there. It was a lot of an older crowd, but it was so great. And Horden is a really good venue for any live event, I think. It is a bit different because you don't really have seated, like there is a seated area. Yeah, wait, there is, right?
But it's like, the shape of it's very rectangular.
Yeah.
Compared to like, you know,
it's still like fun, especially, you know, when you want to be in a mosh and you're ready to have that crazy experience in a mosh. But yeah, I just thought it was such a fun time being there. Okay, now.
As much as we've
spoken, love the big events, but how about the small gigs?
I know, they're just...
I think they just hit different.
What SZA's new song? Hit different. But something that I've noticed is that these days I will literally... Well, not so much these days because of COVID, but before COVID, I would pick a small gig over any arena or like your Horden Pavilion, because obviously being uni students as we are, that they were cheaper options.
Yep.
And but not we're only living that
uni.
Not only that, life. You actually connected to the artist much more.
I know, like it's so common to say that it's just a more intimate experience, but
it really it is. That's why you go.
Yep. And I think you're made to feel special being in a room with only like 200 people or less. And it's just so much more special.
Yeah. And one of those venues I think that really hits, at least for both of us, is Metro Theatre.
Yep. Although it's on the larger side of the small list we've got for this podcast, it's still such an intimate gig space. Yeah. And we've seen both international and more local artists. Yeah,
a
there.
Lot of international. Yeah. Actually, more. I think we've seen more international artists at Metro Theatre than actual Aussie artists.
We spoke in our first episode about how we first met and we went to Amine, and that was at Metro Theatre.
I think that was a great first artist to kick off our Metro Theatre experience.
But who else have you seen at Metro that you've really loved?
Well, obviously, Kali Uchis.
Oh, we saw, yes.
That was the amazing. Goddess.
We could talk about Kali Uchis for every episode.
Oh, we should have an episode just dedicated to her. But who else have we seen there? I think every time I've been there, I've actually been with you.
Yeah.
So
we've seen, well, we did see Cosmo's Midnight there.
Yes. That was the first time I saw them. You saw them at Grooven.
Yeah, we've seen them. We've seen Young Franco there.
Oh my god, yes. With Maribel.
I got to see Steve Lacy there.
Oh yeah.
Which was incredible.
He's awesome.
Who else?
There's so many other artists. I think we're going to get confused with other venues.
Yeah.
Sort of similar to Metro, but this venue in particular, Enmore Theatre, is also a small venue that I really like, but also a small venue where I've seen the most random artists. Like, I saw Cosmo's Midnight there with you, but then a month later I saw Boney M, which is like a completely like 360. And that's what I've noticed that Enmore has
quite the variety, and
it's also very historic.
Yeah, it did used to be a cinema, I'm pretty sure.
Never knew.
Yeah,
that is so cool.
I think it was my mum or dad that actually saw their first movie at the Enmore.
That's cool. We found out that Enmore actually has existed since 1912. That means it's been there through World War One, through World War Two, Corona.
Apparently it's Sydney's oldest and longest running theatre.
Makes sense. That's why the floor always stinks like beer. It's so sticky.
Years of beer.
It's just the Enmore aesthetic. It's just part of it.
You know, another place that stinks like beer, but is still, it's still a great venue. And it's probably up there in my favorites.
Yeah.
The Lansdowne. Yeah. The Lansdowne Hotel, which is in Chippendale.
Yeah, which actually was there since the era of the Great Depression.
From the 1930s up until now, it still has remained
still rock and roll.
One of Sydney's greatest live music.
Yeah, and
it's venues.
So funny. When I used to dance, we would perform at Seymour Theatre,
right,
which is literally up the road from the Lansdowne. But I had always passed the Lansdowne just to go into Broadway Shopping Centre to get like food when we were doing like a break and we were hungry. I'd always passed this, like the Lansdowne, but I never knew what it was until I actually physically went there and was like, oh my God, this is a lot of, you know, this is a lot of live music events have happened here. But I was just thought it was a random pub.
Yeah.
I was walking past and I was like, oh, this looks like just an old random pub that I wouldn't really want to go into.
I sort of love that old kind of gross aesthetic of it. Kind of gross, but kind of cool.
Yeah, but thing from the outside, that's what we see, like the gross looking aesthetic. But then you walk in and it's sort of like the most...
It's beautiful.
Yeah, so many different from aesthetics that, in one aesthetic.
That disco ball that hangs like in that room
a
downstairs.
Random disco ball room, a
or
random...
Or you got that random bathtub in the upstairs.
Yeah, a random garden place with, like, seating that's not really, like, typical seating. There's, like, blocks. It's just... It's really cool.
We've attended free events... Yeah, at the Lansdowne as well. Really fortunate to win free tickets to events there.
Yeah. And had some great food there.
The pizza.
Like, honestly.
They do, like, deep pan, like, American type.
This is now
like
become a food
type.
Podcast.
This is a food. Welcome to our food podcast.
Yep.
It's called Food. Wait.
Food.
Welcome to Food Podcast.
Oh, God. All right. Moving on from that. We're just, the food.
It's got
great.
A bit distracted.
The Lansdowne, if you're listening, which you probably won't be, we love your food and your music.
Okay. And the last, I think, to mention in our list of smaller gig venues would have to be
Oxford
Art Factory. Yes.
Which is really cool because it was inspired by Andy Warhol's factory in New York during the 60s. Again, which I never knew. I think you go to a venue but you don't realize the cultural history behind it these days, and it's really cool to just even find out that about Oxford Art.
Yep, for sure. They also do these like indie music nights where
oh,
they were
like the themed nights.
Yeah,
they also do like ABBA nights.
Yeah.
And Queen nights, like a whole
so
different.
So it's not
things.
Actual artists playing, but they'll do like a battle of two different artists. Like I attended
You've been
one.
A few of these.
Yeah, I attended one that was it was the Kooks versus the Wombats. I'm pretty sure that was the night I went to. And
did it was
it's
it a
so
very
fun.
But did it feel competitive even though it was like a fun thing
to
be
not
at?
Really.
Not
like,
really.
Like
okay.
It just has all artists that sound like that type of artist.
Yeah.
Such a fun event to go to, and I think it's really cool because it's like you feel like you're just at a club or something with your friends. And meeting new people and being around people and the bar.
Yeah.
But then you're listening to music which
you
actually
like.
Enjoy.
Because
you know?
How many times, obviously clubbing is not a thing now anymore, but how many times have you been at a club and you're like,
This music sucks.
I just don't want to listen to this for the rest of the night. And that really ruins the whole
I don't
night.
Know. I just feel like you just hear the same, like, old school 90s R&B, which, okay, not trying to drag it. Like,
my personal bias is getting in the way here.
Yeah, okay. Look, I know there are some great classics, but I don't want to hear them at every single club I go to.
Yeah.
It gets boring and overplayed.
Well, you won't be going to any clubs anyways.
I know that. But, you know, having a place like Oxford Art Factory that do these cool nights means I can enjoy my night and actually
and
enjoy
only,
the music.
Yeah, and not only you, but...
All
anyone.
Anyone else. And
who has their own,
you know, you're finding
soft spot
a community
music,
of people that enjoy the same music as you. And I think that's important.
So as much as we've talked about all of our experiences with all of these certain locations and venues and festivals, we've kind of had to, you know, put them to bed, give them a little rest because so many different events have been cancelled. Like, you know, obviously we were meant to go to Splendor this year, but... we're not the only ones who are suffering. The whole live industry, the live music industry in general has suffered so much so much that it's equaled $340 million in lost income. And you can expect that number to rise, I think, as not only artists, but managers, you know, bookers and venues continue to lose their income. But as much as that number is really big and scary, we have seen some crazy innovations come out of COVID, especially with this whole virtual online event situation.
And we did touch on this in our first episode of this podcast, but we really want to get into
the specific
ones. Live ones, especially in Australia, that we've seen happen.
Yeah. Obviously, the laws with sort of outdoor events now, especially music events, is that large venues with like ticketed events can't exceed 25% capacity, but you know, the NRL can go up to 40%, which is like around 40,000 people. But
yeah, that's fair.
That's totally fair. While the music industry has 10,000 people
and is suffering.
I know, things. But that's okay. Moving on from that. The executive of Live Nation, which is a huge ticketing company here in Oz and worldwide, they were actually saying, you know, as much as COVID and all of this is terrible, that there is a silver lining. Obviously, all of these international artists were booked to perform. Like, one of them was Harry Styles. That was like a big, big tour that was meant to happen. Got postponed. But the silver lining is now they're spending more effort, amount, and money organizing domestic acts, which means that's bigger opportunities and more innovative opportunities for our Aussie artists.
I think that is such a great opportunity that this situation's given us. You know, we've got so much talent right here on our soil. Why not promote and support and let them grow their audience? We began to see a lot of virtual events popping up for just for our own Australian artists before we actually got to attend any smaller gigs now that the restrictions are lifting slowly. But
slowly, but like we don't even know, it's always at different times.
Yeah, and every state's different.
Yeah.
But Isolade was one of the big ones we saw earlier in this year. That's also about to happen again, I'm pretty sure. But it's an award-winning online music festival where artists basically play 20-minute sets and they're streamed on their own Instagram accounts.
Instagram Live.
But when one artist finished their set, they would then send fans
down a rabbit hole, yeah,
to the next one, which I think is so cool as well, because then you get to find out about new artists you may not even know about.
A lot of discovery,
and a lot of, they're all similar artists or Australian ones that you want to be supporting as well, which I thought was such a cool concept to see.
I also just love that name, Isolade. Just reminds me of like a cool drink, but I don't know, it's so weird. But
Slurp.
Another thing that you were mentioning, Anthea, which I saw being advertised on TV, but I never actually watched this. I don't know if you want to call it a festival sort of concert, but on Anzac Day, obviously, with the restrictions this year, we couldn't celebrate or do things as we normally would. And the Aussies and New Zealand came together, the music community came together to pay its respects, but also celebrate the mateship between the two nations by performing through sort of a live set. I think it was live and it was all on television, and also just a way to say thank you to anyone currently fighting on the front line for COVID, but also our Anzacs.
You had artists like Birds of Tokyo,
Blissinesso,
Delta Goodrum, Crowded House,
DMAs,
G Flip, Guy Sebastian, Mandrini, Kevin Parker.
A lot of artists. Paul Kelly. The Wiggles, the Rubens.
I didn't realize
the lineup was that big.
Yeah, so many artists.
And I think that's another thing to consider as well. Are a lot of these concerts and festivals going to be televised now? You know, obviously we've got streaming services like YouTube or like artist websites, but I think about
this one was televised.
Yeah.
But now, you mean from now on?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Because think about these virtual events. Obviously, they're a great new way of moving on, but how annoying is it being in line online and getting stuck, or the website crashing during a live stream, or it's not loading, or even just the different time zones?
Yeah, I've had pretty good experience so far.
I'm just thinking, is television gonna sort of come back now and help us out?
I don't know if I personally, I don't think I can see.
You don't see it happening?
It happening through television, because I think television's sort of dead to me.
Yeah, but obviously it's still there for events like this, which is great.
But to be honest, I attended a virtual event last week or the week before. And you actually, well, for this particular one, you had access to it for 72 hours after the event happened.
Sort of like our uni exams.
But it was pretty good because, you know, they did consider the different time zones.
Yeah, and, well, that's good.
You know, so I was able to go back and watch it.
Yeah, I guess it's a lot to think about, but when they put it on a virtual event.
And that's why I think these events are better suited to online rather than television.
Like traditional forms of channels.
Yeah, because then you can access it at any time, anywhere.
Yeah.
For me, the quality was very good and I didn't actually have any problems, but I do understand that there can be issues like
especially
that
with
happen.
Older generations, because television is such an easy outlet for them. I think it's definitely going to be there as a backup, but I agree. Social media is just going to keep dominating, and as we were talking about in a previous episode with Spotify and the virtual events option.
Yeah, slowly I've actually been getting more and more emails for virtual events.
That's also another thing to look out for now.
Yeah.
We have seen a lot of cool festival hijacks happening, like just different ways that event coordinators and managers have thought about for putting on a festival post-COVID. And one of the examples that we found
in Australia,
which was so surprising, was the Good Day Sunshine Festival, and it's literally about to happen in 3 weeks, I think. So if you're going, please let us know how it is, because it's actually in Western Australia. But the whole festival is going to feature a big open field with a circular stage in the center that is going to spin.
A rotating stage. Why haven't
a turntable stage?
Why haven't they thought of that?
I know. But also, who would have thought of that? Because it's something that we never had to think about. But it's just incredible to see that these guys in Western Australia have literally stepped outside of the box and come up with
by having that rotating stage. It allows for more space for them to use to keep it social distanced, which is such a great idea, because I know we've seen in other countries them
like a UK festival.
Yeah, they did.
It was in UK where more than 2,000 fans attended Sam Fender's socially distant show, and basically there was just like
metal
500
cages, was it?
Like mini enclosures.
Yeah.
So you had your own like little table, I think, like a few plastic chairs, and it was just like you're in your box, in your own box, and you saw all these other boxes around you. It was quite like totalitarian, but interesting.
Like, while I think that's a good idea, I think this rotating stage idea
is a lot better.
I just think it will feel more like what a festival may have felt like before COVID. And I know the like social distancing rules and will have to be followed very strictly, and it will be hard to monitor that, but
this is just one way of doing
it. It's one way to try it out, I guess, and it's so cool that it's in Australia that this is happening.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to actually check this festival out when
and
it's,
see how it's successful
how
it
went.
Goes so Hockey Dad are about to perform at the very first drive-in concert in South Wales.
Yeah, it'll be in Wollongong, and it's actually happening. So today's Thursday, the 8th of October, and this is happening on Saturday, so in 2 days. I know someone from work who's going to this event.
What an exciting way to experience a live event. Well, yeah, the boys from Hockey Dad are both Wollongong locals. So it's really cool that they'll be kicking off their new national tour through a drive-through concert. Such a cool concept. Great one.
I'm just trying to think of the ways. If you have, like, let's say a group of five people going in a car, do you stay in the car and is it through the radio, or can you actually get out of the car, like maybe onto the boot if you've got a boot? Right. Like,
I'm not sure how those specifics would work. Yeah, that is a
probably
good question.
Similar to drive-in movies, because yeah, that's all done through a radio channel.
Yeah.
I guess we'll find out. Yeah. We'll see it on social
media.
We'll have
to attend one ourselves. Other than these larger events, you've got the more small-scale shows that have been happening over the past few weeks and months. I've already spoken in previous podcasts about the Lime Cordial event that I attended, in which they did... How many shows? I think
10, was it?
I think there were, yeah, 10 or back more.
10 back-to-back shows.
Yeah, which is crazy, and good on the boys for doing that.
Yeah,
they
boys
did two a night for that many days.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I think that's another thing. You wouldn't get to have that opportunity to select a time.
I guess a lot similar to Lime Cordial was the DMAs did a concert at Sydney Factory Theatre in Marrickville. And there was an article that I found where the author described the concert. You'd be forgiven for thinking it was speed dating because the setup was so, like, romantic, I guess. They had, like, spaced out tables in this dim lit room, candles on the table, and everyone was just sort of sitting, having a glass of something and listening to the DMAs.
It's quite a, like, relaxing experience, yeah, compared to the, you know, intense feeling of being in a mosh.
Yeah, and everyone gets a seat this time. Everyone can see the band. You're not lining up like you usually do for drinks, or, oh my God, the toilet line. That's sort of a thing of the past now, and I think that's great because I do not miss lining up for the toilet at a festival. Especially when you're busting and there's this whole line in front of you.
I guess I'll just piss on the floor.
Yeah. So, an international one, but Lollapalooza. Just the way that slips out of the tongue.
Lollapalooza.
But they did a really cool thing. So, obviously, the festival got cancelled, but they made it virtual. So, Chicago festival, but meaning the whole world could see it. It was a 4-day live stream. Featuring, oh my God, such a massive, massive lineup. So you had Lorde, Tyler the Creator, Outkast, Paul McCartney, like LCD, Sound System, Metallica even, and then some Aussie artists such as Alice in Wonderland, Skeggs, which is huge, Wafia, as well as Vera Blue. But there were over 150 archival and newly recorded performances from home that fans all over the world could enjoy. And I wish I knew about this so I could have actually seen this. But if any of you guys watched this live stream, let us know. How was it?
So to wrap this up, first, we want to hear, what is your favourite venue? Whether it be in Sydney or in Australia, or even
in
another country,
or in Japan,
what is your favorite venue to attend a live music gig, or what's your favorite festival you've attended?
That's a big one.
We want to hear about what events you've experienced or attended during these COVID times.
Yeah, whether it's a virtual event, or maybe you've attended one of those smaller events at, you know, smaller venues that are socially distanced, let us know. And
let us know whether you enjoyed the experience.
Yeah.
Or you enjoyed the virtual show. How does it compare
to a festival that you've, you know, you used to attend with Mosh and all of those classic components.
Characteristics.
Yeah, component character. Wow, we're getting really, really big with our words here.
I really hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, we'll see you guys next week with a new episode. And
hopefully we'll have a special guest.
Maybe. That's all we're giving away. That's the plan.
Thanks for listening to Mood Podcast.
See you guys.
Bye.